In this session, we are going to look at the tax implications of a company purchasing its own shares. This is often called a share buyback. The company purchases its own shares, and the shares are normally then cancelled. This route may be the only way a shareholder can get the capital they originally invested in the company back when they wish to sell their shares. There may be no willing external purchasers for the shares, or perhaps it is a family company, and the family want to keep the shares within family ownership, but cannot afford to buy the shares back from the shareholders themselves. Depending on the circumstances, there are two possible tax treatments of the disposal by the individual: the income treatment or the capital treatment. Under the income treatment, the receipt by the individual is treated as a dividend and is taxed at either 10% or 32.5%, with the benefit of the dividend tax credit. Under the income treatment, the receipt by the individual is treated as a dividend and is taxed at either 10%, 32.5% or 42.5%, with the benefit of the dividend tax credit. Under the capital treatment, the disposal gives rise to a capital gain, which is taxable at 18% or 28% on individuals and may qualify for entrepreneur's relief. Firstly, let us look at the transaction. We have an individual who owns shares in a company. He receives a pile of cash from that company in respect of those shares. This is normally treated as a distribution, which is subject to higher or additional rate tax. However, on the other side of the transaction, the individual is making a capital disposal of his shares in that company, which is liable to capital gains tax, or CGT. It is because of the double-sided nature of this transaction that special rules apply for tax purposes. Where shares are bought back from a corporate shareholder, the capital treatment always applies. There are a number of very strict legal requirements which must apply before a company is permitted to repurchase its own shares. Full details of these are disclosed in the Essential Law for the Chartered Tax Advisor, published by the Chartered Institute of Taxation. Let us firstly look at the income treatment of this transaction. This is the default position. This treatment will automatically apply unless certain other conditions can be satisfied. In this situation, the majority of the amount of cash received from the company will be treated as a dividend. The amount of the dividend will be the cash received less the original subscription price of those shares. There will also be a return of capital as a shareholder is also making a capital disposal of his shares in that company. This capital disposal is the return of the original subscription price for those shares, i.e., the price at which the company originally issued the shares to the original shareholders. This is subject to tax under the capital gains tax regime. Consequently, if our shareholder is the original subscriber of the shares, this will usually result in a nil position, the amount of the capital proceeds being equal to the amount he originally paid for those shares. However, a loss may also arise where the individual bought the shares second-hand at higher than their original subscription price. Let us look at an illustration. In the example, we have Alicia, a higher rate taxpayer, who subscribed for 905 pound ordinary shares in RAF Limited some years ago. The company is now going to repurchase those shares from her for £7 per share, which she will return to the company and they will be cancelled. Alicia will receive cash totalling £6,300, that is 900 shares at £7 each. The dividend element will be £1,800, which is the amount Alicia receives over and above the original subscription price. The original subscription price was £5, and Alicia has now received £7 per share, so the dividend element is effectively £2 per share. In Alicia's personal income tax computation, this dividend will be grossed up to £2,000 because we take account of the 10p tax credit and will be subject to higher rate tax. In addition, Alicia will also receive capital proceeds of £4,500, this being the return of the original subscription price for the 900 shares that she acquired. Furthermore,
The cost of those shares is also £4,500. So therefore, she will have a capital gain of nil.
If Alicia was not the original subscriber, but bought her shares for, say, £5.50 each, then her CGT calculation will show proceeds of £4,500 again. But this time, the cost of the shares is £4,950. So therefore, she will have a capital loss of £450.
Take a look at the example on the screen. In the example, we have Carolyn, who owns 400 £1 ordinary shares in Miguel Limited. She bought them from Margot for £3 per share some time ago. The company is now repurchasing these shares from her for £5 per share. What I would like you to do is to compute the dividend that will be brought into Carolyn's personal income tax computation. Let us take a look at the solution. Carolyn has 400 £1 shares in Miguel Limited, and she receives £5 per share from the company. She returns her 400 shares, which will be cancelled. She receives total cash of £2,000, which is 400 shares at £5 each. The dividend element will be the amount of the proceeds in excess of the original subscription price, which is 400 multiplied by 5 minus £1. This is grossed up in her personal income tax computation to £1,778, which is £1,600 grossed up at 100 over 90. In addition, Carolyn will also receive capital proceeds equal to the original subscription price of £400. She paid £1,200 for the shares because she purchased them second-hand from Margot at £3 per share. She has therefore sustained a capital loss of £800. This is a normal capital loss and may be set against other gains in the same year or carried forward and set against future capital gains which she may make.
Provided certain conditions are met, the buyback will not be treated as a distribution. Rather, the shareholder will be treated as receiving a capital sum on disposal of the shares equal to the amount paid by the company. This gives rise to just one calculation, a normal capital gains computation. This capital treatment applies if we can meet the conditions under section 1033 of CTA 2010.
Firstly, we need an unquoted trading company, and the transaction must be going ahead to benefit the trade of that company. In addition, a number of other conditions must also be satisfied. The individual must be resident and ordinarily resident in the UK. This is fairly obvious, because we are going to treat the whole amount of the cash as capital proceeds. We must make sure that the individual is within the charge to UK capital gains tax, which only applies to UK residents. The individual must have owned the shares for at least 5 whole years. However, if the shares were acquired by reason of death, i.e. they were inherited from someone, then the ownership period is reduced to just 3 years, and that 3-year period can include the ownership of the deceased as well.
The shareholder must be making a substantial reduction in their shareholding in that company. This basically means reducing the level of their holding by 25% in relative terms, compared to what it was before.
We will look at this test shortly. After the repurchase, the individual must not be connected to the company, which essentially means they cannot own more than 30% of that company once the repurchase has taken place. We look at this test at the end of this lecture. Firstly, let us look at the benefit of trade test. For example, a benefit of trade could include a dispute between the shareholders, as shareholders in dispute are not exactly going to work well together, and therefore could do damage to the trade. In addition, the revenue will accept that a trade will be benefited where one shareholder wishes to sell, and the other shareholder cannot buy him out, but the company can afford to do so. However, there cannot be any personal motive. The motive must relate to the trade. This was given in the case of Moody and Tyler. In this particular case, Mr. Moody owned a company, and the company made a loan to him some years ago. In order to repay the loan, Mr. Moody sold 2,747 of his shares back to the company, which exactly repaid this loan. The revenue successfully argued in the courts that this did not benefit the trade of the company, as all it did was allow a shareholder to repay a loan. This had nothing to do with the company's trade, and therefore the repurchase was treated as a dividend.
We will now look in detail at the substantial reduction test. Following the repurchase, the shareholder's interest must not exceed 75% of his interest before the repurchase. Let us look at an example. Dave has 2,500 shares in Gooty Limited, of the total 15,000 shares currently in issue. Gooty will pay some cash to Dave to repurchase half of his shares, and in addition, the company will repurchase 1,000 shares from another shareholder called Jim. In order to apply the substantial reduction test, we need to look at the shareholder's position, both before and after the repurchase. Before the repurchase, Dave owns 2,500 out of the 15,000 shares in issue, which is a holding of 16.7%. After the repurchase, Dave will own 1,250 shares out of total shares now in issue of 12,750. This represents the original 15,000 shares less the 1,250 which Dave is selling back to the company, and 1,000 shares which Jim is selling back to the company. As these shares will be cancelled, the company's share capital will be reduced. This represents a 9.8% holding in the company. After the repurchase, Dave cannot own more than 75% of his original holding. In other words, Dave cannot own more than 12.5%. As Dave owns less than 75% of his original holding,
the test has been satisfied, and assuming that all of the other conditions under section 1033 have also been satisfied, this repurchase can be treated as a capital disposal.
We will finally round up and have a look at the connection test. Following the repurchase of shares, the individual cannot possess more than 30% of any of the following: the issued ordinary share capital, loan capital, voting power, or be entitled to more than 30% of the company's assets on a winding up. A company can purchase its own shares without having to cancel them. Such shares are known as treasury shares. The Finance Act 2003 has laid down the tax rules for the treatment of such shares. Although the shares are not cancelled by the company, they will be treated as cancelled for tax purposes. The company will not be treated as becoming a member of itself. The share capital of the company will be treated as reduced by the nominal value of the shares bought back. Where the shares are later disposed of by the company will be treated as having issued new shares. If the consideration received on sale is less than the nominal value of the shares will be treated as having a nominal value equal to the amount of consideration received. Where the consideration received on sale exceeds the nominal value of the shares will be treated as being issued at a premium. This treatment does not apply if the amount paid for the repurchased shares is taken into account in calculating the trading profits of the company. That concludes this session on purchase of own shares.